I don't know if you've watched much reality television lately. If you have, you've likely noticed one theme that seems to be great fodder for the networks, and that is the behavior of parents with talented kids. And whether they're academic or they're beautiful, they've made a lot of money zoning in on the crazy behavior of these parents. I watched this documentary. I don't know if anyone's seen it, Trophy Kids on Netflix. I got to tell you, it was disturbing. It's crazy when you see something to an extreme like this. Parents just so overbearing, humiliating their kids in front of other people when they don't quite do something right. They're displays of disgust. You see that dad in the stands? How could you be so stupid? Like, just melting down, screaming at them to work harder, nitpicking, continually pushing, prodding. You see these kids literally busting their asses to try to do their best, and it's just never quite good enough. I'm watching this documentary. I'm getting to the point where I almost have to turn it off. You just see these kids, some of them so desperate for their parents' approval. This one kid, every time the camera, the documentary starts asking him questions, every time he opens his mouth, he sounds like his dad. He's saying everything his dad, he knows his dad would like him to say. He's like a little puppet on the string, saying whatever, just desperate for his dad to go. You feel so bad for him because you know the embarrassment that they're feeling at times, the frustration, the anger that's pent up underneath, just the deep level of sadness came away from that movie. And I thought to myself, I'm so glad I didn't grow up with that kind of parent who was beating me up doing that kind of stuff. I'm so glad that my kids, my family, don't have that to experience. But lately, you know what? We've been walking through this book. It's called How to Be an Adult in Relationships. And if you've joined us over the last 4 weeks, we've been kind of picking apart. David Rico has written this book, and I'm telling you, it's gone in my kitchen. As I'm reading it, I'm beginning to identify that this controlling, overbearing behavior, it can look different. It can come in different shapes and sizes. And as I've read, I began to identify it in my life, in my history, my family history. It was about 7.5 years ago that my dad and I were coming back from Whitefish. We were doing a big annual golf trip. And we had been down there for about a week. We were coming back, driving back. And I made the dangerous decision to open up with him and admit that I had been wrestling with some nagging doubts and problems with a few of the traditional Christian doctrines that he and I had been raised with. It's a weird thing because I was excited about this wrestling, to be honest. It wasn't a bad thing. Some of the things that I'd been working through, some problems in life and the traditional Christian messaging in certain areas and how it just wasn't jiving. I'd been wrestling, and then I'd been reading what some other traditions had said about these things. And it was like my mind was being opened up to just a bunch of different thinking, different perspectives and views. And it was giving my spiritual journey like a new lease on life. It had literally created some breathing space for me. So I'm excited about all these changes, but I'm deathly scared of telling Dad about it because I know he's not on the same page. And I'm thinking back to this trip. I wanted to talk to him about it. because it was like this, it had become almost a secret part of my life that he knew nothing about. And we talked about spirituality, we talked about Christianity, we talked about his spiritual journeys. We had talked about everything, church, stuff, my job, all, like we talked about everything on these golf trips. But this one in particular, there's a whole side of the conversation I just left right out. And so here we were driving back and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, 7 days and I haven't brought any of this thing up. I better say something. I don't even know how I got into it, but I think I just said, hey, Dad, you know what? It's awkward, but I got to tell you, I got to admit something's going on. I know I was worried what his reaction would be if, when I told him or when he found out. I wasn't sure how he'd react, but probably, I know now, I was worried. Probably the worst case scenario, I was worried that something would change in our relationship. And this sounds strange because I know how much my dad loves me, but I was worried that somehow his level of love for me would change once he knew this. So anyways, we're on that trip and I open up. And he didn't get angry. He didn't start aggressively arguing and telling me he can't believe what I was thinking. And he didn't do any of that. To be honest, I think what he did was worse. He just went quiet. And the more quiet he got, the more I talked. And I mean, I'm in full sell mode. I'm going back through and I'm going, Dad, you know what? It was just one thing. What you? And I was asking him questions and he wasn't responding. And then I kind of swing around from another angle and I come at him and I look at him and no nodding. Every now and then he'd look over as I was telling a story and he'd look at me and then I'd go to look at him and he would just look straight ahead. It was like verbal diarrhea coming out of my mouth. I just couldn't stop. I'm like, oh, I'm looking for any nod of validation, any nod of approval. Dad, just throw me a bone and tell me you understand and that my struggling is legitimate. That's all I needed. Nothing. At some point, I think I just said, okay, whatever. Change the subject. He dropped me off that night. He gave me a big hug. But I knew things were different. Can I just ask you, when was the last time you felt someone express a level of disappointment or disapproval in something you were doing or saying or believing or living? Have you ever felt that? Ever felt someone in some way let you know that what you're doing is not cool? We have a community, and the stories that get told within this community of people. There's couples I know who come from more of a traditional Christian upbringing, and you felt it the day when you announced that you were moving in with your girlfriend or boyfriend. The disgust, the arguments, the... Some, when you announced your imminent divorce. Some of you experienced it when you told someone that you're coming out of the closet. But it didn't even have to be some of these big kind of ordeals, does it? It doesn't have to be major to feel the controlling vibe. Sometimes I've watched people, they said, man, weird, grandma freaked on me when she found out I had a tattoo. It's like, wow, even talking about it, shoot, you can post something on Facebook and start feeling it, huh? Isn't it true? It's funny, all kinds of things you can do and say and believe, and it's all green lights until you say something that someone isn't cool with, and then it starts to feel differently. They have a way of showing you that you better reconsider. A few days after we got home from that trip, my dad wrote me an email. And told me he's worried about me. He told me, he said, Jeff, you're a pastor. You're leading people. How many are you leading astray right now by thinking the things you're thinking, by questioning some of this stuff? Just the tone, just everything about it, I'm like, oh, God. In the months that followed, I noticed our conversations had shifted. We no longer talked about my job. We never talked about church. We never talked about my spiritual journey. We never talked about his spiritual journey. Our conversations went shallow, 3 feet. You ever felt that? It's like, wow, something has shifted here. It's killing me. I didn't want him to know it, but it was killing me. I was like, fine, okay, whatever. But I was dying. Now I know that there's probably people hearing this story in the room here, and you're going, that wouldn't affect me. In fact, that might be good news. Shoot, you know, you're honest. Told them where you're at. And they, you know, so you're being honest, and they told you where they're at, and fine. You don't talk about that stuff, great. You have your life, I'll have my life. Others of you would have thought, who are you to weigh in and tell me that what I'm honestly feeling and wrestling with is illegitimate and that I'm wrong and that me being honest with you is wrong? Who are you? And maybe some would get angry and say, you know what? Screw you, pal. And better yet, you talk about your stuff. I'll keep mine and I'll just know better. I will not ever bring up this stuff with you again. Typically, if you're avoidant in your attachment style, you've learned to be very self-reliant already. There is a low-level scripting inside of you that says eventually someone's just going to neglect you anyways. So there's this half expectation that someone's going to pull a stunt like that anyways. You're like, hey, anyone does that, that's my cue. See ya. Avoidants tend to be able to rely on themselves better than anyone. So they're just looking for that excuse to say, okay, I'm going inward. I don't need that. I'm not going to bring it up with them. I'm going to just hold it in here. But if you happen to be anxious in your attachment style, and we've talked about this. You can go back in some of our messages where we unpack that fully, like I am. I'm more of an anxious attacher. I tend to rely on other people to soothe me. I tend to rely on the approval of people. That's why over my lifetime, I've tended toward people pleasing. So when someone does this, oh, I'm just like, no, I need you to say I'm okay here. Don't say I'm not okay. Drives me crazy. I found myself at times weighing out whether all these good things that I was experiencing in my spiritual journey was really worth losing the approval of my dad. In fact, I remember one night, I was just missing him. And I thought, you know, I'm going to call him. Tell him I resolved all the questions. I'm good. I'm back. I'm all well. Just to make things go back to where they were. This is the insidious side of controlling behavior. It either pushes people away in anger, causes them to shut down and cocoon and not open up about anything that they're thinking or feeling with other people. Or it manipulates us to perpetuate some kind of false self, someone that we aren't even, that isn't even true of who we are, so that we can get the approval of some other people. So we can get them to smile and nod at us, give us a thumbs up, to give us the love that we want or need. Controlling behavior is nasty. It's insidious. But it infiltrates so much of our relationships. That's what I'm realizing. Now, when you're a parent of a young child, there's a necessary amount of guidance, right, that we have to give these young kids that don't know better. And we control them by just making rules, right? You're going to bed. Well, I don't want to. Susie goes to bed at 8 o'clock. Why do I have to? And we use the rule of why, right? And they say, why? And we say, because I said so. And they have to conform. And they do it. But As we get older, it's harder to just make up arbitrary rules. That door really wants to stay open. That's fine. Come on in. If you're listening to the podcast, there's a door on the sides of the stage. It just keeps opening. Okay. As you get older, whether it's a parent or it's a friend or it's a sibling, their ability to control your decisions get trickier. They lose the authority that they have. So what do we do to control? Well, we'll find all kinds of subtle, sneaky ways. Give them silent treatment. Hey, don't get what you want. Don't like what you're seeing. Go quiet. A little sarcasm, a little criticism. Nice pants. What's wrong with these pants? We'll withhold love or affection. We'll isolate them. We'll stop talking, stop calling. We'll let them get the... We'll help them get the point. Things are not okay. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? This is bad news behavior. It's subtle ways of controlling and getting what we need. We'll withhold love. Oh, really? Hey, you want to do that? Fine. You're not getting any. Not for a while. It's like one massive dislike button. It's just like, just helping you. Helping you out. You have to know the down deep. Controllers really are hoping that by doing these kind of behaviors, these hurtful behaviors, you'll just come to your senses. You and I will just go, oh, what are we doing? Of course. No, I'm sorry. If we apply the right pressure as controllers, the right amount of pain, isolation, embarrassment, shame, that person will see the light. They'll change their mind. They'll end up coming around and believing or doing what we need them to do. Over the years, I'm realizing I have used every kind of device to control the people I love. I do it so subconsciously. It's funny, as I've been reading this book, I'm seeing stuff inside of me and my behavior. It's almost embarrassing because yesterday was one of my worst demonstrations yet. And I'm getting ready to do this message. I'm sitting there and that's just pissing me off. I'm like, I'm supposed to have this down for tomorrow. I gotta stop this. And it comes out in the strangest places. We're getting ready to go to anniversary dinner summer. Carter comes upstairs wearing a toque. And this is like older people, religious. Every parent in the room knows my pain here. I'm looking, I'm going, you're not wearing the hat, right? He said, what? It's clean. And I'm saying, no, you better lose the hat. I can hear Kathy in the background. Let it go, Jeff. I'm like, he's like, just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong. I may have uttered a threat. I can't remember. Kathy posted something on Facebook one day, and I was downstairs. And I flipped open my phone, was looking at it. I just didn't like the post. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm bad. I didn't like what she had to, you know, this thing that she liked. And so I... I go upstairs, and I remember she was on her bed, and I said, I don't know what I said. I said the wrong things. I said something like, why would you post this? That sounds so bad. It's coming in my mouth, but I probably said something like that. And she said, why? And I said, well, you know that people reading this could think this, or they could think this, or this. She said, people can think whatever they want. In that moment, I began to realize that this wasn't so much about her. This is about something inside of me. She's okay with what people might be thinking. I'm not. As I've read through David Rico, he's had this to say about people who control. He said, we control and try to dominate because we have a chilling fear that we won't be able to handle letting the chips fall where they may. That is a very true statement. Most of us who are trying to guide, if we're really, really mindful, there is something going down deep in here that says, I'm not sure I would be okay with certain consequences of your actions. But the price you pay for controlling is so steep. It's us. It's me. I'm not okay with what this is. I'm going to try to control people to make sure that I can control the outcomes. Make sure people think certain things. Make sure you are successful. I don't have to. Whatever those perceived fears that are inside of me that drive me to do this, this controlling behavior has a way of hurting the people around me. The opposite of this controlling behavior is what David Rico calls allowing, where we create an environment in which it's safe for one to be him or herself. That's a pretty simple concept, isn't it? You just give room for someone. You give them full permission to be fully themselves, to express themselves the way they are, to validate who they are, their tastes or preferences, their knowing and showing their deepest needs and wishes and feelings, no matter how contradictory or painful they may be to you. Now, let me just be clear here. I'm not talking about allowing someone to cause injury or harm to someone. I'm not talking about that. We set limits to make sure that people aren't hurting one another. We do that for our teenagers. But this here is talking about preferences and their standards and their expressions. This is a different deal than that, than setting limits. Allowing people to express themselves how they need to. Jesus, in my mind, was probably one of the most profound masters at allowing people to be who they are. He did it at the party that Matthew, tax collector, threw. Remember that? Matthew was this tax collector, so the church community didn't like him, not one bit. Thought he was pretty corrupt. Look down on him. He throws this big party with all his buddies, and there's Jesus right in the middle of it. And you know, the church people, the leaders, are sitting outside the place, wherever they are, the bar, wherever they're meeting, and they're sitting there looking at Jesus, the rabbi, inside hanging out with these guys. And you know, they're sitting there going, I hope he is straightening Matthew and those guys up. I hope he's telling them how wrong. I hope he's laying down the law and saying what you're doing is not okay with God and with anyone. And you guys better. And there's Jesus in the party. Hey, I've met you before. Nice. Hey, so you've married kids? Get out. Hey, me too. Whoa, check it out. Let's talk. Love your shoes. He did it one night with the prostitute. He's sitting at the table of one of the prominent church leaders of their day. And this prostitute comes in, finds out Jesus is there. She comes in and begins to wash his feet with this perfume. And these religious leaders are sitting there knowing the town harlot is sitting there washing Jesus' feet. And they're looking at Jesus going, do you know who she is? Do you know what she's about? I can see them just going, okay, that's fine. You're letting her do this. But when are you going to straighten her out? When are you going to tell her? When are you going to point out that what she's doing is absolutely? Jesus is just watching them squirm. He had this way of just going, you're beautiful. You're valuable. I don't need to condemn everything you're doing. Because I can see something inside of you that's beautiful. I believe in you. He had this way every time these people who were just the broken, they would come around him. They would leave with such hope. It was like he had this way of not needing to point out all the things. He'd just go, yeah, come here. Yeah. Zacchaeus, come on, you and me. We're going for lunch. Zacchaeus would walk away going, man, that is the opposite emotion of what controlling does. Controlling says, you screw up. You bad, get this right. Why can't you? How could you be more stupid? We feel like we need to point it out. No, no. I watch this allowing behavior happen around me in the lives of our community. I watch my sister, whose son has this big, long hair. And I think Stacy would love a cut. But I've watched Stacy, if ever someone speaks up about his hair. Whoa, it's my kid there. It's beautiful. Beautiful. My stepfather, he's this big 6'2". He's a retired plasterer, blue collar. Man's man, drives a big truck, eats meat, loves to eat meat. And I don't know. He drives a Ford. That says it all, right? I mean, he's a man's man. And my mom is this artistic. She's an artist. She loves to paint. And she does this whimsical. And so she decorates her house in all these Victorian frilly colors. And I always walk in. I go, Gord, I can't believe you live in this place. Like, but Gord loves my mom. He's all organized. He's clean. I come in. He's vacuuming away. I go, whoa, Gord. He's like, yeah, your mom isn't the biggest, vacuuming. So I take care of that. I said, wow. He likes getting up early. He loves this. And mom likes having a nap in the afternoon. I mean, they are so different. But I watch Gord just celebrate my mom. He calls her Bevy. That's okay, Bevy. You go lay down. I'll take care of this. Oh, allowing. Allowing. I've watched families in our community acknowledge the difference in their spouse, in their kids, introverts, extroverts, going, no, I'm giving them the space. We're at a party. Where's your spouse? Oh, you know what? He's not big on these kind of parties, so I never make him come to these. Wow. Awesome. I've watched parents whose kid came out as gay, and they are being introduced to a whole world they've never known. And in fact, they've been raised to believe this is absolutely, and they've learned to be able to embrace their kid and keep them close. And being freaked out at the same time, just going, I'm trying to figure this out, but I'm going to hold you. Even though I don't understand, I'm going to hold you in your mind. I'm going to celebrate you. How are you at allowing? How are you at giving room for the people in your life to be different than you? To hold different political expressions? Hold different theological perspectives? Dress different, act different. Maybe don't prioritize certain things. You're always on time, and this person's always late. How often do you just have to make a point of saying, really? It's a simple message, really. It's about allowing these people in our lives to be able to be who they really are. And I'm telling you, I make it sound like, what the hell are you doing not doing this? And yet I'm not doing it. So here's some things I've been telling myself lately. Maybe it'll help you. Number one is trust them. Trust them. You got someone in your life that you feel is really, you feel like you need to weigh in on their lives, give them their opinion. No, take what you think is trusting them and say, yeah, I'm going to let them run with this thing, and then up it by another 30%. That might be what you need. Secondly, ask yourself something. When you get in the middle where you're starting to weigh in territory that's not yours, it's theirs. Ask yourself, what consequences am I so fearful of? That question can be really telling. I remember having breakfast with a guy, and it was at a time when my oldest son, Jay, he was going through some tough times, and as a parent, I was freaking out. And so we're sitting at breakfast, and I go, oh, I don't know what to do. He's out with these friends. I'm worried about his friends. And he says, so let him do what he needs to do. I said, yeah, but you know where that... He says, where would that go? Well, his grades could suffer. Okay, so his grades will suffer. Yeah, but then where does that lead? Right? He might not be able to get a good job. Okay. So at some point, would he learn? Well, maybe, but think about all the time he's wasting. I started going through all this rationalization, all these worries, all these... And he's like, that's what you're worried about? He says, are you worried about what it might look like to you in people's eyes? Are you worried about how that would look in them, in their eyes toward you? What consequences are you so fearful? Thirdly, ask yourself, is my need to control more about my personal preferences and my personal standards? Let me just, in closing, say a couple things about those who have struggled under a controlling person. Some of you can relate to this message because it hasn't been you necessarily harping on someone or manipulating someone, but someone has been doing that to you. Can I just say this? It's more about them than it is about you. I'll tell you that right now. Often, Rico says they have very little control over their controlling nature. And it's this fear that they won't be able to handle where the chips fall. It's more about them. But at some point, you're going to have to learn to be true to who you are. Some of you have become very good at being who others need you to be. That's me. And I'm realizing that part of me being healthy is about me being able to look at these people who I've wanted so badly to approve of and say, I'm not going to be that person you need me to be. I'm going to be me. For some of you that have been overly controlled, you've just kind of gone along and you're losing maybe your identity. You need to claim back who you are. That's a tough one. Express your own opinions. Make your own decisions. Be free from the fear of punishment and retribution. These are things that I'm telling myself every day when I get into this place where I'm thinking, oh, I need you. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to be myself. Let me close. I hope this week you'll be more mindful of these controlling natures. How it's at play, perhaps, in your relationships. Christmas brings out the worst. Let's just face it. We all laugh. Isn't that crazy? You're going to be around some family and likely someone who's going to hit your buttons, who's be mindful of what's going on. Let me just say, this is the last message of this series. Over the past 5 weeks, we've talked about five different behaviors. We've talked about giving attention. We've talked about accepting people. We've talked about showing appreciation. We've talked about showing affection. And this morning, we talked about allowing. I'm just curious what you're doing with what you're learning. How much of what you've heard over the last 5 weeks have you done something with? Here's the thing. The validity of our spiritual journeys. The proof that this thing is actually alive inside of you is literally shown by your ability to love. Jesus looked at his followers and said, You know how they'll know if you're legit? It'll be your love for one another. That's how we'll know. People have asked me, why are you doing all this psychobabble? I'll tell you right now, we think this has some keys to get us to love better. And if we ain't loving, I'm telling you, this whole thing is a farce. So we've talked about five different skill sets, and I just got to know, are you serious about doing something with what we've been talking about? You've been coming out to the spiritual gym. It's time to lift. Hey? So, we've got the next 2 weeks, Christmas season. You've got some people who you know you're going to be around. We need mindfulness ninjas stepping into the picture. Pick your spots. What do you need? Do you need to give them more affection? Is there someone in your life that needs your attention and you've just dismissed? Is there someone you need to just allow and quit trying to correct, quit trying to point out what you don't like? Maybe you just need to celebrate them. What's it going to be? Will you do something with what you've been learning? Let's do this, okay? Let's give her. I want to pray for you and then we'll wrap this up. God, I thank you that even though I had a bad day yesterday, I got an opportunity today to do this right. And I pray, God, for my mindfulness, that as you nudge me, I'll see it. I'll spot it before I do something or say something that's wrong. And that I'll be loving. I'll be better at this. That what will result from my interactions with people will be something so beautiful. Pray that for every person here. May we be a loving community. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.